You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As always, I'm your host, Mark King, for this show. Just want to make sure you remind everybody, make sure you go subscribe in iTunes. Make sure you subscribe wherever you get your podcasts for every day, automatic daily download to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Make sure you go and get the new podcast app, Himalaya. It's super easy, super intuitive, and you can actually create a playlist of podcasts right in that app, and they're a great sponsor of this very show. Today's episode got a great guest. It's been a while since we've had him on. We normally did this every week, but we took a break, had some different guests on, but Joe Mullinex, site manager of Grizzly Bear Blues, is joining us for today's episode. What's going on, man?
I just need you to be honest with your audience and admit that you haven't had me on your podcast because you and I, we usually agree on most things, have had a bit of a tizzy over Ja Morant and RJ Barrett. Be honest.
This is true.
People need honesty, Mark.
This is true.
We
had a falling out.
We had a fight.
Over multiple technops. This is actually the one thing that we do. I don't know if we disagree on, but I think we disagree on the extent of some things, and we'll get into that later. And I do want to talk about it for sure, because I think it's worth having a conversation, just like any of that kind of
and
stuff.
And for the record, if you couldn't tell by my laughing, I am joking with Mark.
Oh,
and I think
absolutely.
Anybody who thinks that they're right about anything all the time is kidding themselves. It's perfectly okay to have these disagreements. And
I know
we live
it's,
in an
it's,
era
it's
where
good.
It's supposed to take things personally, but I do not, and I know you don't either. So.
No, it's good to have the disagreements, even between us, and we obviously work closely together at Grizzly Bear Blues. Like, even between us, it's good. It's healthy. Not everybody's going to agree on everything, and that happens. And like you mentioned, like, people like to play hindsight sometimes, and especially in the business that we're in, and people like to say, oh, I saw that coming, but that's just not true most of the time. Most people didn't
right.
see any of that stuff coming. And some people
sure.
do, and credit where the credit is due. But again, you know, we're talking about guys – who are kids, you know, these kids who, quite frankly, let's be honest with ourselves, no one really knows what's going to happen with any of them. The NBA is so vastly different than college that some guys just get it. Some guys just don't. And to be perfectly honest, and we'll just start with Ja Morant since we're talking about it, but to be perfectly honest, Ja Morant is playing a position as point guard that it is difficult to be elite at. Like, you have to have a lot of different things, and it takes a long time to be good as a point guard. I think he's got a lot of the tools, and I think you do too. I think we disagree on how you get there. So I'll give you this time. Let's do this. Let's sell me on the process of possibly, not necessarily definitely, but possibly getting RJ Barrett over Ja Morant.
Imagine, if you will, let me paint a picture with words. That's the job of a blogger and a podcaster. Let me paint you a picture, Mark, of an office somewhere on 191 Beale Street, right there at FedEx Forum. And you have Zachary Kleiman sitting at the head of a table. You have Jason Wexler overseeing the festivities. You have all these brilliant minds that you've assembled from all different walks of basketball life to come up with the best possible ideas. For the Memphis Grizzlies, you call it the Brain Trust. And the Brain Trust is there. Robert Pera is Skyped in from Uzbekistan or wherever the hell he is. And now you're going to discuss your big board. You put Zion Williamson at the top. There he is, of course, the prized piece that's about to become a New Orleans Pelican. Then you get to number two. Everybody looks at each other and says, it's Ja Morant, obviously. You put Ja Morant up there, and then there's no more conversation. What in the world are you paying all these people for? I want to have conversations. I want people to try to sell me on something that I don't agree with. I want people to try to convince me that RJ Barrett is better than Ja Morant. Are they going to be successful? Probably not. They're probably not going to win that argument. And at the end of the day, Ja Morant is a better fit for Memphis for a variety of reasons that have been talked about here, there, and everywhere. My personal favorite is that Ja Morant is a Memphian and he doesn't know it yet. In terms of the way that he has come up through basketball, his work ethic, he fits the Grizzly, what we're talking about and what I've been talking about for a year now, Memphis needs an identity again. The Grizzlies need a culture, and this guy can set that culture. I'm not sure Jaren Jackson can. I think Ja Morant can. And that's not a knock on Jaren. I think Jaren could wind up being a better player than Ja. But when it comes to being that tone setter for an entire organization, I get that vibe from Ja Morant by the way he carries himself. So for that reason, even outside of basketball, Ja Morant is the right choice for the Grizzlies. And then you can go into how he fits in the modern NBA, some of the stuff you were just mentioning with his development and playing that guard position being so important in this modern NBA. I'm with you on that. You see his highlights and his explosive ability. I like that he can be on the offensive end in terms of facilitation, what Jaren is on the defensive end, and he can make his teammates better. That to me is a major selling point for Ja Morant. So those are all reasons to draft Ja, and I think that is the right choice at number two. But how boring would it be, and how big of a waste of money would it be to have all of these executives sitting around this big fancy table made of some big fancy piece of wood from a big fancy tree, and just have them all look at each other and say, yeah, Ja Morant, on to the next one. When you have somebody in R.J. Barrett who all he did at Duke was set scoring records at Duke that has had so many great college basketball players. This guy, all he did was show a vast array of offensive skill sets, defensive versatility that Ja Morant doesn't have because he doesn't have the size that R.J. Barrett has. And he did it at the highest level of the game of college basketball in the ACC, competing against teams like Virginia, who Duke beat twice, who eventually won the national championship. So is Ja Morant the right pick for the Grizzlies? Yes, I believe he is. I would take Ja Morant number two over R.J. Barrett. Where you and I have our disagreement, and where I disagree with others as well, is when people say, R.J. Barrett's trash. He's not even in the same league as Ja Morant. To me, that's just not accurate. And I think that you have to have an objective eye to try to see, you know, I don't agree with the idea that there's this tier where it's Ja Morant and everybody else. I do think Ja Morant is the best fit for Memphis. But if it were the Knicks at two and the Grizzlies at three, are the Knicks taking Ja Morant because he's that much better than R.J. Barrett? I'm not sure they are. R.J. Barrett's a better fit for the Knicks, just like Ja Morant is a better fit for the Grizzlies.
Yeah, I don't think R.J. Barrett's trash, first of all. I've probably told you that in our private conversation just because, but I don't think R.J. Barrett's trash. However, I do think that you're right in the sense they do have to have a conversation. That is totally true. However, I think where we disagree and where we probably diverge is I do think that Ja Morant is just better, like a better player. Not that Ja Morant's not, or not that R.J. Barrett's not going to be good, but I do think R.J. Barrett has a lot of the things that it is very difficult to teach in this NBA, in this league, while also being able to fundamentally develop those things that he's mentioned, lack of a consistent three-point shot, like the lack of defensive skill set, like you mentioned. A lot of that stuff in college was just being in college and not being defensively liable all the time. You know, he's gonna put size on his frame. So once you do those things and you develop those things, I think in the long term, Ja Morant, with the things that he has, it's just hard to teach in the NBA. Are going to be better for the Grizzlies and long term, just in general. Now, again, we're talking about kids who we just don't know. I mean, that it could be turn out that both these guys are neither one of them are good. It's unlikely, but it could be true. But I think that's probably where we diverge in the sense that. For me, and I pointed to you like this on Twitter, when I said that if the Pelicans are having a discussion about Zion, when I see a better player, yes, we're going to have a discussion, but I think you're going to always end up in the same place because of that, just because of that player's talent, not necessarily because of fit. It is fit for me, but it's also just talent in general. So I think that's probably why I diverge. And again, as I always tell you, to each their own. Everybody has their own opinion of these things, and we'll hopefully I am right because he's going to the Grizzlies, but it is come out that he had surgery. Do you think that changes anything in your mind if you're the Grizzlies, now that it's a surgery that is had often by players and come back, you know, easily come back from? thoughts on Ja Morant having surgery but still going to the Grizzlies. Again, surgery, injuries, and Grizzlies never usually seem to mix, but what's your thoughts on it?
Well, you just kind of mentioned it there. Anybody who was totally cool, oh, Ja Morant's having knee surgery, that's fine. You know, you're the dog sitting in the kitchen that's on fire. At the same time, you're exactly right. What people need to keep in mind is, especially these younger players, it's a different era. These guys are playing basketball almost year-round in terms of AAU tournaments, different leagues they're part of, different showcases. They have a lot more miles on their legs than people from 20 years ago, even maybe even right. 10 years ago. The AAU scene has blown up so much, and I think that they have, like I said, more miles on the tires than previous generations have had. This is a pretty – surgery is never routine. I think anybody right. who says that, maybe they've had limited amounts of surgery.
Those people have never had any surgery right, of any exactly. kind at all. But
at
it's never routine.
Time, I think that if there was one, this is one of those that's in that grouping, and I'm not necessarily concerned about it. I do think it means you're not going to see him in summer league, and that's neither here nor there. If you're buying,
that's perfectly okay.
And watch the Grizzlies. Maybe you're disappointed in that because obviously Jaren's probably not going to play, and Ja with the surgery is probably not going to play. But as you mentioned, you don't draft Ja Morant for the first 3 weeks after he's on the Grizzlies to see him in summer league. You draft him hopefully to be that centerpiece with Jaren Jackson Jr. The next 10 years. And to me, that and the debate of Barrett versus Morant, and you know, some people like Culver better than Barrett. It's all kind of educated guesswork and what you prefer in your basketball players. I do think fit matters, and I do think Memphis is different than most places because that fit matters. It's not necessarily RJ Barrett rejected a workout. He shouldn't come here. He doesn't want to come to Memphis. How soon we forget that Jaren Jackson Jr. rejected a workout. And
indeed.
Want to come
indeed.
To and we're a year removed from that. And he is on Twitter talking about how beautiful Beale Street is. So
yeah.
That doesn't necessarily matter at all in terms of if you're evaluating these guys. It's one of the little bits of leverage they actually have in this process, rejecting workouts. But to me, Ja Morant just makes so much sense. If you know his story, his come up from high school to Murray State to being the presumptive number two pick in this draft, like I mentioned earlier, he's a Memphian. He just doesn't know it yet. Like, it's a very Memphis story. And I think the way that he carries himself, the way that he attacks the game of basketball, his overall mentality is a very Memphis mentality. And while I think RJ Barrett is closer to Morant than you do in terms of overall skill, I do think that Morant is the better player. He's certainly the better prospect in terms of raw athleticism and physicality. I think in terms of, like I said, skill set, they're more comparable than you do, but the deciding factor is fit. And next to Jaren Jackson Jr., and that should be part of this thought process, who's going to fit better next to Jaren for the next 10 years, I do think, theoretically, again, it's educated guesswork, I think Ja Morant is a better fit next to Jaren, and because of that, he should be the pick. Ja Morant should.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. And I think definitely those people who put Culver next to Barrett, I think I will say that I think Ja Morant's better than Barrett, but I also think that Barrett's better than everybody else. I think for a while we always said this is a, you know, 1, 2, and 3 and then everyone else. I mean, right. I still think that. I think not that there aren't good players and there aren't going to be good role players further down in the draft, and you need other type of players. You can't just have superstars. You got to have other players to do other things. But it is very much a 1, 2, 3 player in this draft for franchise cornerstones, if you will. Let's do this. Let's take a quick break. We'll continue the draft conversation, get into the coaching situations just a little bit more right after the break. Today's show is brought to you in part by Hotels.com. Thanks to Hotels.com for being a huge sponsor of the Locked On shows. Don't hate your friend's trip. Book your own with Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com. Be there. Do that. Get rewarded. Today's show is also brought to you by Grip 6 Belts. Grip 6 is ultra lightweight belts with no holes, no flap, and it's an absolute great Father's Day gift. Go to grip6.com for your special offer code LOCK. That's grip6.com/locked. grip6.com/LOCKE. Welcome back to the show, site manager of Grizzly Bear Blues, Joe Mullenix, joining me on today's episode. We were talking about role players in this draft. Do you think that it's possible? I guess I think it's possible, but what percentage do you think we will see Mike Conley move to this draft for another pick in the lottery? You've had a bunch of mock drafts. You keep trading Mike Conley for like gold mines, which if that ever happens in real life, we'll be just coming on here ecstatic. But the actual percentage of, do you think that's going to happen? We get another lottery pick to get some of these role players.
Imagine if David Fisdale convinced the Knicks to just go get Conley now, and Mike Conley for number 3 overall, and you were just done. And all of a sudden you have Jaren Jackson Jr., R.J. Barrett, and John Morant as your core. That'd be terrific. I think that I'm putting it at 40%, and here's why. I think that an Omari Sinkova of The Athletic did a good job kind of articulating the reasons why they should try to trade Mike before free agency. You don't want this to become a Marc Gasol situation. You don't want this to be anything that could necessarily break down what has been one of the better relationships between a player and a city and a franchise. I would argue in the entire NBA. Now, obviously I'm biased, but I think Mike Conley, and growing up in Memphis as a young, going from a boy who comes from Ohio State to a man, getting married, having kids, you know, all that story, being on one team his entire career, I think that matters a lot. And I don't think you risk ruining that or making that any more, any more antagonistic, perhaps, than it already is. You don't want to antagonize Mike. Mike doesn't want to be that guy to Memphis. I feel like he's made it pretty clear that he wants to get the Marc Gasol treatment and go to a team that can compete. I'm not sure that Memphis needs to do that because they need to do what's best for them. But I do think it's possible for them to get a decent package from a team like the Pistons, like the Pacers, and still send him to a place that at least would be playoff relevant. Miami is another one that's been mentioned. If you send him to Phoenix, maybe that's kind of messed up. I don't know. Probably the bottom of the barrel in terms of a team that could be a playoff contender next year would be the Bulls. I think if you put Mike Conley, and I did this trade in our GBB community mock and got crucified for it, but if you put Mike Conley on the Chicago Bulls, him, Otto Porter, Zach LaVine, Lauri Markkanen, and Wendell Carter Jr. as your starting five, that's probably a playoff team in the East. And I don't know if that's a title contender, but at least Mike's back in the postseason conversation. And he'd probably be one of the better players on that team. Maybe he gets his all-star bid. He's back in the Midwest in Chicago. And I think there's some legs to that too. So I think that's probably the bottom in terms of making Chicago a playoff contender if they get Mike Conley. But you have to really kind of value that relationship. And I think a good way to kind of save that is through ensuring that he gets moved before the draft or during the draft, and it's in a place where he can have success both individually and as a team. Now, I read about this for the blog on Wednesday. I called it walking the Memphis tightrope. So Zachary Kleiman's got a lot of things to consider, because next week, Jonas Valanciunas' player option is going to be decided on. He's either going to opt in or opt out. And that, at least according to Jonas in interviews, is connected to Mike Conley. He wants to see what happens with Conley. He wants to see who gets hired as the next head coach of the Grizzlies. And, you know, that's $17.6 million. That's not chump change. If they trade Conley before the draft and Valanciunas moves on and opts out, all of a sudden, depending on what the return is in a Conley trade, you could have up to $50 million freed up in cap space. And you're looking at a max contract. And what if Klay Thompson does want to be the star and comes to the Grizzlies, and you've got John Morant and Klay Thompson and Jaren Jackson Jr.? I don't think that's as far-fetched as other people do. Now, is it 2% instead of 0%? Probably. But I do think that they have that possibility in front of them, not just for Klay Thompson, but for a Malcolm Brogdon, for a Tobias Harris. You know, they've been linked to him in postseason or offseason rumors. So there's a lot of room for movement over this next month or so on this Grizzlies team. And because of that, I think that you want to hold with honor what Mike Conley has done for your franchise. You don't want to drag it out. I do believe that if it goes to free agency, that's fine because it'll open up more suitors, the Lakers, the Knicks, like we mentioned, but especially the Lakers will be able to get off some cap holds and they could take Conley almost, you know, fully on if they didn't want to mess with striking out repeatedly in free agency, which it appears they're about to do. To me, that's probably the percentage. You're looking at a 40% shot of them moving on before or during the draft. And I would put it up maybe even a, you know, 20% that he gets moved in the next week or so because of that Valanciunas opt-in and opt-out. Now, should the Grizzlies front office, that brain trust, make any decision based off of Jonas Valanciunas? Absolutely not. They didn't do it for Marc Gasol, and they certainly shouldn't do it for a guy who's had a cup of coffee in Memphis and did some good things, but he did it on a team that was, you know, struggling to contain a draft pick. It's not like they were fighting for the playoffs. So I don't know that they'll rush because of that opt-in and opt-out, but I do think that's in the back of their minds, and they're starting to, you know, maybe get a little bit uncomfortable with this guy sitting on their roster who has made it pretty clear he's interested in pursuing championship opportunities. And as excited Memphis is for John Morant, as they should be, and obviously Jaren Jackson Jr. and that those two guys being their next big and guard combo for the next decade, hopefully, there's going to be a lean year or two still for the Grizzlies before they get to a place where those young players are ready to compete at the highest level in the NBA.
Yeah, one thing you mentioned about Mike and the relationship with the Grizzlies, I'd argue that the relationship is pretty badly severed already. Someone who was able to talk to Mike literally from, you know, point A to point B in the entire year this year. After it all happened, he was definitely a different person for sure. But you know, that makes it, like you mentioned, all that more kind of not necessarily in a hurry, but you know, it's something that you definitely should do. Like you mentioned, it's a guy that he wants to go ahead and play for at least in a playoff series. You know, you do right by your franchise guys, and I've said this numerous times on the show, like you know, players notice that, like players understand that, like it's not like they don't, you know, it's not like it's a number one thing for them, but they do get it. Like it is something that they do pay attention to. You know, franchises taking, you know, being loyal or just taking care of players that have done so much for them. So you know, Phoenix is a team I always come back to, and like TJ Warren is an intriguing, and the, you know, Tyler Johnson has a giant contract. That's an intriguing team, but you're right. You mentioned that once this team gets into free agency, and that's kind of why I've advocated to do it in free agency, that, you know, it opens up a lot of different doors because you have a lot of guys that they, you know, a lot of teams that they strike out, they can trade Mike just in a space and you don't have to take back a whole lot of stuff other than just what you want. If you don't, you know, if a team doesn't make you or things like that. So that becomes a real possibility. And like you mentioned, if Jonas declines, that's a whole different story. Let's take another quick break, and we'll talk about Jonas Valanciunas as a player option coming up right after the break. Today's show is brought to you by UNTUCKit. Dads come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their shirts, like tall, short, slim, and relaxed. Ever wonder why your father's button-ups look so long and baggy at the end of the day? It can be hard for guys to pull off a casual, untucked look that isn't sloppy. That's where UNTUCKit comes in. UNTUCKit is the solution that fits just right. Their shirts are specifically designed to look great, untucked, and feel comfortable at work or on the weekend. No tucking or tailor required. Go to untuckit.com, promo code MBA to get 20% off. Go to untuckit.com and use promo code MBA to get 20% off. Welcome back to the show. Talking Jonas Valanciunas, you mentioned his player option before. I mentioned it right before we took a break as well. Quotes come out from Lithuania today that obviously he is very interested in seeing who the head coach is. He is very interested in seeing what happens with Mike Conley. I'm not sure that Jonas knows the date for his player option because it's next week and we all know it for sure. I'm not sure he knows it. I mean, he's talking about things that we've got no indication that the Grizzlies are nearing any type of deal. Thoughts on the Grizzlies, why don't we have a coach yet? You think it possibility they're just waiting on someone for the finals, or you think they're still talking to people?
I think they're still talking to people, and I think they're doing the exact opposite of what Chris Wallace and his front office.
They are being as opposite as they can be. They're taking forever.
They're taking forever, and you know me, as hell-bent as I was against the way they hired J.B. Bickerstaff, I love this. Shams Charania of Stadium and The Athletic reported that they need, I believe it was Taylor Jenkins of the Milwaukee Bucks, a second time in the past week or so. I don't necessarily care who they hire, to be honest with you, Mark. As weird as that sounds, clearly they haven't valued the head coaching position in terms of financial investment. If they did, Dave Yeager would still be the Memphis Grizzlies head coach. I believe that. But they haven't. They haven't really put a ton of monetary investment into that spot. Perhaps that's still going to be the case. Robert Parrish is still calling the shots and pulling the strings at the end of the day. But at least they're investing time. And they're taking advantage of meeting with a bunch of smart people and evaluating their roster and getting their take on how they do things and how they would do things differently. There's so much value in that. And I know in your career, your line of work as a producer, you interview and you meet with a bunch of people all the time. And in a creative setting, it's a similar idea. Like, you want to be around other creative people. You want to hear how they do things. You want to compare it to how you do things. And maybe you say, oh, I wouldn't do it that way. And it reinforces the way that you want to do it. Or you take ideas from people you meet and interview and work with and say, oh, wow, that's a really cool way of doing it. I've never thought about it like that. That's what they're doing right now. At least that's what I'm hoping they're doing. You know, whether it's somebody overseas, you know, lifetime assistants, whoever they're sitting and meeting with, whether it's analytical data, whether it's schematics or scheme, they're taking this opportunity to get a full evaluation of their value within the NBA community, their roster's value, and how others would use the pieces that are in front of this front office to succeed. And when you get all those different viewpoints and you put them on a table, like going back to my table from earlier in the show, and you put them on the brain trust table and you're able to lay them out in front of you and see what their paths would be, you start to find common threads and it allows for you to piece together what your vision for the organization actually is. So I'm hopeful that's what they're doing, that they're meeting with a bunch of different folks and they're developing a plan and using the information and the intel that they're getting from these meetings to help them along the way. And it could be developing relationships down the road. You know, I've advocated for hiring an older guy, you know, Dan Burke of Indiana. He hasn't been linked to the Grizzlies at all. But if that were the case, I think he'd be a good hire. And then you hire a young assistant as his lead assistant to kind of take over for him, you know, and if he retires in 4 or 5 years, you've had the culture set and it's a natural transition to the next guy. There's ways to do this that I think make a hell of a lot more sense than what they've done in the past. And even if they don't go the way that I just suggested, if they just hire another random assistant from Portland or Milwaukee or wherever it might be, at least they made a process out of it and they actually met with people and they showed they care enough to go through the steps to meet with a bunch of different folks and get their take on what it means to be a Grizzly and what the Grizzlies' worth is in the NBA. So I'm optimistic. I'm extremely positive about what they're doing on their coaching search. And I'm also hopeful that that's what they're doing on their draft process, obviously probably still landing on Ja Morant. But that's what I mean by the brain trust. What's the point of having all these people around you if you're not going to put them to work and try to get as much information out of every situation as you can? And it definitely appears as though they're doing that with the coaching search, and I support it.
Yeah, it definitely they're definitely doing their due diligence. Like you mentioned, this they're going as opposite as they possibly can, and which is totally fine. Which is fine by me. Like you said, we want them to do that. You and I both argued about J.B. Bickerstaff last year and how it was just insane that he was getting the job. But I'm kind of with you. I think at this point, I don't really care either. I mean, I probably have an opinion. I'll form one. But at the same time, these are guys that we just frankly don't know a whole lot about, any of the assistants. They never really coached an NBA game before. So how can we say we love them or hate them just because we just don't know? You know, some of them have track records in the G League and things like that, but largely just don't really know. But yeah, you know, hopefully they do it soon. I'm tired of, you know, I want to talk about who it is instead of who it might be. But Joe Mullinex, site manager of Grizzly Bear Blues, make sure you go out and get this podcast, subscribe to this podcast on the new Himalaya app. Great sponsors of this show, Apple, iTunes, Google, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Joe, man, I appreciate you joining me. Let's do it again next week.
Oh boy, I'm back on the. We made up. We're back together. That makes my heart sing. That's what that does. I'm so glad that Morant versus Barrett didn't break us, Mark. That we're
it hasn't
stronger
yet.
Coming out of this.
It hasn't yet. We'll see.
Tune in next time, and we'll find out for sure.
Absolutely, man. Well, let's do it again next week, man.